Okay, so let's unpack this. Imagine you're, I don't know, stepping into a taxi.
Okay.
You give the driver your destination, the meter clicks on, and you just immediately merge into absolute gridlock.
Oh, the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, just terrible traffic.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there watching the meter tick up, and you don't really mind paying for the time.
Right, because everyone is stuck in the same traffic.
Exactly. That slow crawling pace is simply it's the unavoidable physical reality of getting from point A to point B.
Yeah, the slow pace in that scenario is a universal constraint. I mean, the meter ticking up feels acceptable because neither you nor the driver can change the physical reality of the environment, right? You're both bound by the same physics.
Right, but what if suddenly that taxi sprouts wings?
Oh, wow.
What if it just lifts off the pavement, bypasses the gridlock entirely, and drops you at the airport in like 2 minutes flat?
That would be nice.
It'd be amazing. But my immediate reaction as the passenger is, well, I do not want to pay by the minute anymore.
Right, because paying by the minute for a 2-minute flight bankrupts the driver almost instantly.
Yeah.
You'd expect a flat rate for the outcome of arriving at the airport. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, we are seeing this exact structural collapse happen to creative agencies right now.
Which brings us to the mission for today's deep dive. We are exploring a massive real-time disruption in how creative agencies charge for their work. We've got a stack of source material today detailing how the traditional agency rate
That's the
card,
Holy Grail.
yeah, the holy grail of the billable hour,
Yeah.
how it's becoming completely obsolete in the AI era. It's a fascinating look at what happens when the traffic of creative production suddenly just disappears.
And the disappearance of that traffic is creating absolute panic across the industry. I mean, for decades, the entire agency business model was built on a very specific proxy for value, which was time.
Time, right.
And to understand why it's falling apart, we kind of have to look at why that proxy existed in the first place.
So let's go back for a second and unpack the origin of the billable hour. Because looking back, pricing creativity, like a utility, like, you know, charging per hour for a brilliant idea, it seems completely counterintuitive to me.
Well, the billable hour was never some grand philosophy about the nature of creative work.
Right.
It was an accounting convenience born out of necessity. If you look at this from a client's perspective, 50 years ago, they couldn't evaluate creative labor the way they'd evaluate a manufactured product.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, think about a procurement department buying, say, 1,000 steel bolts. They can inspect the steel, they can weigh it, they can test the tensile strength. It's objective.
Right, it's a physical thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But evaluating the objective value of a strategic brand pivot or, a beautifully designed print ad, that's virtually impossible before it actually hits the
Oh,
market.
yeah, it's completely subjective. You are asking your procurement officer to basically audit an abstract concept.
Right. So agencies and clients, they needed a metric they could agree on. They needed something auditable. So they started auditing the inputs instead of the outputs. And that metric became the unit of time it took to produce the work.
And this arrangement held for decades because production was just genuinely physically slow, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the research phase required researchers pulling physical data, running actual focus groups, and synthesizing the findings manually.
Yeah, and copywriting went through manual rounds of revision. It was typed out, marked up with a red pen, and retyped.
Even recently, building a simple digital campaign required designers, front-end developers, back-end developers, you know, all coordinating handoffs.
Yeah.
Every single campaign asset multiplied the timeline exponentially.
But the thing is, clients never actually wanted to buy hours.
Really?
No, nobody wakes up and issues an RFP because they want to purchase 400 hours of agency time. That's not the goal.
Right.
They were buying strategic thinking, creative judgment, audience understanding, and the professional accountability that comes with hiring experts.
The hours were merely the delivery mechanism for all that.
Exactly. And for most of the industry's history, conflating the two was totally harmless. Thinking and producing were completely inseparable. You could not get the brilliant strategy without paying for the army of people required to manually execute it.
But now we hit the AI era, and our sources refer to this as the Great Separation.
Yes.
AI is violently pulling the thinking and the producing apart. And that production compression isn't happening gradually, like over a decade. It's happening so fast that agencies are starting to win major brand pitches based purely on speed and volume, rather than just, you know, historical prestige.
Yeah, the paradigm has fundamentally shifted because the constraint of time is dissolving. We're moving from a linear production model to a combinatorial one.
Okay, combinatorial. The source material actually has a wild example of this combinatorial model in action.
Oh, the day clerk one?
Yeah, the day clerk one. So think about a standard campaign brief. That used to require, what, a week of production time for a mid-sized agency?
At least a week, yeah.
You had to do the competitive research, draft the primary copy, build the landing page wireframes, create all the social media variants.
All of that took time.
But now, tools like Dayclick can take a single strategic brief and move it through audience simulation, landing page generation, email copy, and highly segmented social copy in under 15 minutes.
It's staggering.
15 minutes.
And what's crucial to understand about that 15-minute window is the mechanism behind it. The generative AI isn't just like typing faster than a human copywriter.
Right.
It is simultaneously mapping permutations. It takes the strategic input, the human brain's judgment on brand voice and target demographics, and instantly handles the combinatorial math of generating 50 optimized variations for different platforms.
So the thinking is completely uncoupled from the physical labor of producing the assets. But here's where it gets really interesting to me. If an agency can magically do 10 days of work in 2 days, or, you know, 15 minutes, my immediate thought as a client is to demand an 80% discount right out of the gate.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, how do agencies survive that conversation? Because if I'm the client and I know you are using AI, I'm not paying for the ghost of those other 8 days.
Well, the instinct to demand that discount is the dominant reaction from corporate procurement departments right now. They are running what we can call client math.
Client math. Yeah.
These are sophisticated clients. Many of them have in-house marketing coordinators who are running their own AI experiments. So they are benchmarking against what they now know is technologically possible, not against historical agency timelines.
So defending hourly rates on production work that AI can assist with, I mean, that seems like a losing battle.
It is.
If an agency tries to justify it by pointing to their unique expertise, the client is going to ask why that expertise still requires the exact same number of billable hours it did 3 years ago.
Exactly. Defending the hours is no longer an argument for human value. It literally becomes an argument for inefficiency. You are essentially charging the client a premium for your refusal to adopt faster, modern workflows.
Right. So if the math is so glaringly obvious to the clients and the procurement teams are already sharpening their knives, why are agencies resisting the shift?
It's tough.
Why not just tear up the rate card today and switch to a completely different model?
Well, tearing up the rate card triggers an internal civil war.
Really?
Yeah, this isn't a simple sales decision where the CEO just stands up and announces a shift to value-based pricing. It is a massive organizational friction that breaks the actual mechanical operations of the business.
Oh, wow.
To change the rate card, you have to completely retool the agency's internal time-tracking software, how you scope projects, how you calculate your profit margins, and most importantly, how you evaluate your staff.
Okay, let's dig into that staff evaluation piece, because I think a lot of people outside the agency world don't realize how mechanically tied to hours these businesses really are.
Yeah, the lifeblood of a traditional agency is a metric called the utilization rate.
Utilization rate.
Right. An agency CFO models the entire business, assuming that every producer or account manager is going to be billable for, say, 85% of their working hours.
Okay.
So their internal bonuses, their performance reviews, and their perceived value to the company are completely tied to hitting that utilization target.
Oh, I see. Which means if an employee uses an AI tool to finish an 8-hour task in 2 hours, their utilization rate drops drastically.
Yes.
Under the old system, they are economically punished for being efficient.
Exactly. The internal systems actively resist the shift. The middle management layer, you know, the people responsible for staffing allocations and hitting quarterly margin targets, they're economically incentivized to keep the hours bloated.
Wow.
So the founders might want to innovate, but the mechanical structure of the business prevents it.
Wait, I'm stuck on this death zone idea that was highlighted in our sources. They point out that agencies in the 3 to 15 client range are in the most danger right now.
The 3 to 15 trap, yeah.
But why wouldn't a 10-client agency have an easier time pivoting than a massive global holding company with, like, 500 clients?
Yeah.
That seems completely backwards to me. A smaller boat turns faster.
Right. Well, a smaller boat might turn faster, but a mid-sized agency with 10 major clients is uniquely vulnerable because of revenue concentration. Think about it. If you are a massive global agency with 500 clients, you have a sandbox. You can test a new value-based pricing model on 20 smaller accounts without risking the entire business.
Right. If you lose one, you're fine.
Exactly. But if you are a boutique agency with 10 major clients, those clients are paying your rent. You are too large to fly under the radar. Your clients expect a high level of polish and dedicated service, but you are too small to easily absorb a massive systemic transition in your pricing model.
It's like trying to swap out the entire foundation of a house while the family's still living inside it and hoping they don't complain about the noise or, you know, the tilting floors.
Exactly.
You touch the pricing model and you risk collapsing the client relationships that keep the lights on.
And the disruption for these mid-sized agencies, it usually doesn't come from losing a flashy pitch for a new logo. The real danger hits quietly, right in the middle of their active book of business.
How so?
Well, imagine a current client. Their in-house coordinator just figured out how to use a generative AI tool to build a multivariant landing page.
Oh, no.
And then they send an email asking for a review of the annual retainer.
That is a terrifying email for an agency founder to open if they don't already have a modernized framework in place.
Truly terrifying.
Speaking of rebuilding foundational frameworks and getting out in front of these structural shifts, if you're looking to upgrade your own marketing strategy before your clients or your competitors start asking those tough questions, you should check out the free marketing guide over at Dayclerk.
Yeah.
You can find it at dayclerk.aaplaybook2026. It is packed with a repeatable framework for high-converting campaigns, shows you exactly how to eliminate the guesswork before you spend a single dollar, and gives you optimization tactics that actually compound over time. Again, that URL is dayclerk.aaplaybook2026.
Yeah, having a bulletproof framework is critical when the ground is shifting this quickly. And that need for a modernized structure brings us to a massive blind spot in these older agency contracts, which is causing an intense industry debate regarding margin capture.
Okay, let's explore this margin capture debate, because this seems like the philosophical dilemma that agency CFOs and client procurement teams are secretly battling over right now.
It absolutely is.
When production time compresses drastically due to AI, who actually gets to keep the money that was saved? Like, should the client see lower bills, or should the agency see higher profit margins?
There are two very distinct industry strategies here, and they are colliding in real time.
Okay.
The first strategy focuses on client benefit through radical transparency. The argument here is that passing the efficiency savings along builds lifetime value.
So they just tell a client.
Yeah, an agency adopts these incredible new AI workflows, drops their production fees proactively, and slightly raises their strategy fees. They reframe the engagement to position themselves as a sophisticated partner, actively protecting the client's budget.
You essentially go to the procurement team and say, hey, we found a way to cut your production costs by 40% while maintaining the exact same output quality.
Right.
I mean, that builds immense trust, which theoretically secures the account for the next 5 years.
That is the long-term relational play. But on the other side, you have the pure business framing.
Okay, what's that?
This strategy argues that the agency took all the operational risk. The agency invested capital in the AI tooling. They burned non-billable hours training their staff. And they absorbed the friction of revamping their internal processes.
Yeah.
Therefore, the agency has earned the right to capture that margin.
Oh, I see. So the business side argues that clients only care about the outcome. If the agency delivers the exact campaign the client asked for, on time, and with superb quality, the client shouldn't care about the bill of materials. Volunteering a price concession just because the agency figured out how to operate smarter is viewed as giving away hard-earned capital.
Both of these strategies have fierce adherence in the market right now. Agency CFOs are running complex models trying to figure out which path yields better long-term stability.
But wait, isn't the business framing incredibly risky?
Armin.
Well, if an agency is secretly pocketing the margin, pretending it still takes a week to do the work, what happens when the client's procurement officer eventually runs an audit?
Yeah.
If they discover the agency is using AI to do the work in 15 minutes, doesn't that destroy the trust entirely? You instantly go from being a valued vendor to a con artist in their eyes.
The risk of an audit is massive, and this highlights the ambiguity of existing master service agreements.
The MSAs, yeah.
Yeah, most of these agency MSAs were negotiated and signed 3 to 5 years ago. They were written long before 100x efficiency gains from generative AI were a reality. They just don't have clauses for AI-assisted production.
So clients and agencies are just feeling their way in the dark.
Totally.
They are operating on legacy contracts that no longer describe the physical reality of the work being done.
And that ambiguity is exactly why controlling the narrative is a massive competitive advantage. If an agency waits for a client's procurement team to ask about AI efficiencies, the agency is instantly on the defensive.
They look like they were hiding a massive margin improvement.
Exactly. The agencies winning this transition are the ones rewriting the narrative first. They are proactively going to clients and restructuring the relationship around value and outcomes rather than waiting for an audit.
Which leads us to the ultimate pivot. How do agencies survive the collapse of the billable hour and actually thrive moving forward? Because clinging to the rate card just seems like guaranteed obsolescence.
The pivot requires moving to value-based pricing, grounded strictly in strategy and business outcomes. The rate card for execution isn't what needs defending anymore.
Okay.
What clients will absolutely pay a premium for is human judgment, strategic positioning, and campaign accountability.
Which is funny because management consultancies figured this out decades ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody hires a top-tier consultancy and asks for their hourly rate to build a slide deck.
No, never.
They hire them to solve a complex business problem, and they pay a flat fee based on the value of solving that problem. Creative agencies rarely made that shift because the slow, manual production process historically hid the strategy costs inside the loaded hourly billing.
Right. And the argument for human judgment actually gets much stronger as production gets faster.
Really? How so?
Well, if anyone, including an in-house coordinator, can spin up a landing page and 1,000 variations of social copy in 15 minutes, the mere execution becomes entirely commoditized.
Oh, I see.
What becomes exponentially more valuable is the person who knows which landing page to build.
So the value shifts from the hands to the brain.
Exactly.
It's the person who understands the psychology of the target audience, who knows how to position the brand against a new competitor, and who takes professional accountability if the campaign fails to generate revenue.
The agencies that are successfully navigating this transition are treating AI production simply as a margin improvement tool on a value-based contract. They are letting go of hours as a justification for their fees entirely.
Good.
For too long, the industry relied on the proxy metric of billable time to demonstrate worth. You know, look how many hours we spent on this. But that is no longer a viable defense of a massive invoice.
The industry became so reliant on that accounting convenience that they inadvertently commoditized their own strategic judgment.
Yep.
They allowed the manual execution to become the hero of the pitch. Now that AI can replicate the execution almost instantly, agencies basically have to remember how to price their intellect.
And the agencies that productize their strategic judgment will thrive. They will utilize AI to handle the heavy lifting of execution, dramatically increase their internal margins, and deliver faster, better aligned results to their clients.
And the ones that don't?
The agencies that continue trying to sell manual labor are going to find that the market rate for execution is rapidly approaching zero.
Wow. Well, the old model is definitively dead. The taxi has wings, and the industry has to start charging for the destination rather than the time spent sitting in traffic.
Well said.
Agencies have to pivot to charging a premium for pure strategic thinking and human judgment. But, and this leaves me with one final thought to ponder.
Oh boy.
If agencies successfully make this pivot and they transition all their perceived value to strategy and human judgment, what happens in a few years when those in-house marketing coordinators realize AI is starting to automate the strategy too?
Oh, wow.
Is strategic thinking destined to become the exact same manufactured product we just had to reprice all over again? Next time you get in that flying taxi, you might want to check if there's even a driver at the wheel. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.